DW.
The music that's being played on the ground floor in Ushiku's detention centre, about 50 kilometres northeast of Tokyo, resembles the calm tunes often played in wellness studios. This isn't a spa centre, though. But foreigners still have it good here, and they want to show us, says Daisuke Akinga from the Public Relations Department. The detention centre can hold 400 people. Almost 70% of these 400 spots are currently filled with detainees. Up and downstairs, through many doors, and finally we're standing in an empty cell wing. Everything has already been prepared here. Lunch is served in a box. In Ushiku, the food is cooked fresh. Today's menu...
鶏 の tomato に
chicken with tomato sauce and vegetables, a bit of corn, boiled spinach and spaghetti with pepperoni.
With a portion of rice on the side. Everything looks fresh and tasty, but only around 10% of the residents eat it all, Akinga complains. Most people have special requests due to allergies or other dietary issues. The door to this room opens and closes three times a day to deliver meals. Often up to five people can end up sharing a room like this for years. But Akinga doesn't mention this.
Two foreigners use this room.
It's 15 square metres in size, has a large sink, a separate toilet and no table. Its occupants sleep on a thin futon mattress. The view outside is restricted by bars and thick glass. Between meals, the asylum seekers have free time. They're allowed to leave their cells and walk around in the small corridor.
They can do their laundry behind there. There are also showers and two phones.
There's also a ping pong table, dumbbells, and a few other games. It's a bit reminiscent of a school camp in the 1980s. In Japan, asylum seekers who have their applications rejected remain in detention for 2 years on average, pending deportation. In Ushiku, a fifth of the men have been here for more than 3 years. Many of them have been detained several times. Most are from Sri Lanka, Iran, and Nigeria. There are currently 30 men on hunger strike in Ushiku. Again, two Iranian asylum seekers explain why. It's forbidden to record the inmates in the detention centre, so the following quote is based off of a transcript.
We're not treated like people here. There's no internet. The payphone is so expensive that I can rarely speak to my family, and we're constantly afraid that we'll have to go back to Iran. As a converted Christian, they will kill me. We've lived in Japan for more than 20 years, but our families have no perspective here. Basically, we could die. What do we do with a life like this?
One of the men weighs only 52 kilos and is 1.67 metres tall. That's about 115 pounds and 5 feet and 6 inches. He's been refusing solid food for 30 days now. People are on hunger strike in many of the 17 other detention centres in Japan. Force-feeding the men is difficult, Akinga explains.
This is a legal grey area. On the one hand, they have to be force-fed at some point, and on the other hand, we need doctors for this, and many don't want to do it. They are afraid they will lose their license to practice.
As a way around this, some prisoners are released for short periods of time. The main thing is to avoid deaths in custody. There have been 13 in the past 10 years, some by suicide, like one man in Ushiku last year. It's something the workers try hard to prevent, says Akinga.
We only have cameras in single rooms or in hospital rooms. Of course, this makes it difficult. So the workers here often need to look into the rooms directly. Now, we only have curtains in the showers and the shower head cannot be unscrewed. The light has been installed in a way that you can no longer hang a sheet from there.
For some, suicide seems like the only means to escape a life which has been branded illegal and the constant fear of deportation. But Hassan hasn't given up hope yet. The Kurdish asylum seeker is sitting in the Happy Kebab restaurant in Saitama, a region about an hour's drive north from downtown Tokyo. He has a big beer in front of him. The 37-year-old has lived in Japan for the past 16 years. He says conditions used to be better here. He's applied for refugee protection status.
I tried for 3 years, but it was always rejected. Then I was arrested and detained.
He has been sent to the detention centre 4 times, a year and a half in total. He has now been free for 8 years. Although he's free to move around, he remains trapped within Japan's judicial system.
Officially, I'm not allowed to work, so I do small jobs secretly. That's what I live on.
As a Japanese citizen, Kimiko Tanaka has vouched for Hassan, so he can at least sign a lease for an apartment.
At first he lived with relatives, but after a while he no longer felt comfortable there, so he came to me and asked for help. He needed someone who was Japanese to vouch for him, so I took over from there.
She's never had any problems with Hassan. So far, he's always paid his rent. The 67-year-old has become known as something of a Mother Teresa for refugees around Tokyo. Since 1995, Kimiko has been working tirelessly for them, bringing food to their families. With the help of lawyers, she tries to draw more attention to the plight of asylum seekers here in Japan. Hassan is still able to make ends meet by doing odd jobs illegally, but he's still afraid of being deported.
Every 2 months I have to go back to the detention center and have my application for release extended. Every time I go there, I don't know if they will arrest me again. And they always tell me, think about whether you want to return voluntarily, because we know how to send you back to Turkey.
More than 300 refugees in Japan have now gone into hiding, living a life in the dark, as a Japanese newspaper recently described it. The consequences of living such a life are palpable in people like Onur. The 40-year-old Kurdish asylum seeker came to Japan in 2004 with a visa. After all of his applications for refugee protection were denied, he was held in detention several times. When he fell ill, he says there was no one there to help him.
The medical care was very bad. So many people went crazy there. You're not treated humanely.
Unur's experience is confirmed by the 2 Iranian men inside Ushiku pending deportation. Besides pills, they were given very little care. Unur has what is known as a curry homen, a temporary release, because he is sick. His family still had to pay a deposit of 800 euros just for this. Sitting across from him is a little frightening. You can clearly see the anger in his eyes.
I go to the doctor 2 or 3 times a month. I don't feel well, physically or mentally. I can't sleep without medication.
Unur has 3 children. 2 were born in Japan and are currently stateless. They speak almost only Japanese, and they're allowed to go to school here. His wife Yasmin sits next to Unur on the carpet in their sparsely furnished apartment. As she gazes sideways at her husband, her eyes begin to well with tears.
He used to be a very active man. He looked after the children and helped me around the house, and he had a lot of friends who he enjoyed seeing. But all of his energy is gone now since he was released again. He just sits here. He doesn't care about anything. All he wants to do is sleep.
At the Club of Foreign Journalists, the head of the immigration office, Shoko Sasaki, admits the medical care isn't as good as it should be.
When it comes to medical care in particular, I don't believe the current situation has been deemed satisfactory. I think we need to make further improvements.
But on other issues, she remains unwavering.
There are some foreigners who keep making new applications to be recognized as refugees because we cannot deport them while their application is being processed. This is an abuse of the system, so to speak.
But Japan can't do much about this, besides trying to deport them, which is only possible if their home country agrees to take them back. That's what they're trying to achieve, explains Akinga from the Ushiku Detention Center.
The Japanese government thinks, and I share this view, that we cannot accept all foreigners here, and if they don't have a visa, they cannot stay here forever. In principle, we should make every effort to ensure that the foreigners who are to be deported are actually deported.
At the meeting of G20 foreign ministers in November, Minister Toshimitsu Motegi spent a particularly long time speaking with his Turkish counterpart. Perhaps they were discussing taking back asylum seekers. Longtime refugee worker Kimiko Tanaka feels the situation in Japan will worsen in the future.
The current wave of treating refugees isn't right. The United Nations would have to put more pressure on Japan to better deal with refugees and respect human rights.
After all, Japan is a signatory of the UN Refugee Convention. Japan deported almost 10,000 people in 2018, almost twice as many illegally required to leave the country. Just 42 people were recognised as refugees. DW.